we were, a few weeks ago, you actually had a chance to hear Charles, I understand, preach like three messages in one. And part of the feedback came at that point, and God was leading us this last week to contemplate doing about a three-week focus on how to walk with God, i.e., and how to hear God. And so today is just going to be the introductional point to that. But I want to encourage you to bring a notebook, bring a pen, bring your Bible if you have one, and get ready for some instructional, if you will, direction, training, teaching. Next week is going to be listening to various people's experiences and how they hear God. The week after that, we're going to talk about what are the hindrances and the barriers. What are the things that stop you from being able to hear God or to be able to communicate with God? Have you ever felt that sometimes, like, God is away from you? Absolutely. Well, who moved? If God's omnipresent, omnipotent, so what's going on? What are some of the barriers? What are some of the things? You see, if we go all the way back to the way God intended life to be, you'll get back to this place of where it is basically, I'm getting insecure. Okay, my zipper was, it's all right? Okay. My brother's got my back, so he might have kind of just come down and made me turn around. It's okay. That's just. Thank you. Yeah. When you go back to the garden, when you go back to what God intended, you find that original intention, God has that for us today. If we go all the way back, and if we can imagine for a moment what it would have been like to be in the garden with God, walking with God day to day. And we're not even sure that there was even language back then. There was this communicational capacity that was going on that was phenomenal. It's hard to sum it up because in one sense it just makes us real sad that we don't have that. But it's amazing as the more you walk with God, the more you spend time with God, the more you grow up and you learn how to hear and walk with Him, the sweeter and sweeter it gets. That's why you can run into people, whether they were in a concentration camp or Shinonke in Sierra Leone with guns in his face, ready to have his life taken, where there can be a great deal of peace and joy, regardless of the circumstances. God desires that He walks with us. He doesn't desire that we walk in some religious system or some formulaic way, or somehow that we have this picture that He's way out there and really mean and big, and if you don't get it right, He smacks you. He desires to be with us. He desires more than anything else relationship. He desires to be with His children. He created us. Now, we have a hard time comprehending all of God, and sometimes we kind of like little children go and do our own thing, and He does pursue us, and He does patiently wait for us. But more than anything, He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to teach us how to walk in this life. He wants to give us what's necessary. Now, before we get too far into this, it's very important that we understand why would we want to get communication. Sometimes we just want information to get things done. God wants to communicate with us to build this relationship with Him in order that we could know Him, know ourselves, and know how to live and walk in this life. How many of you make bad decisions? Man, it's just, why are we so good at making bad decisions? Is it possible that we don't know God's will for that situation and we just make a decision? And we'll get to this in the third week. What are some of the barriers? Some of it, obviously, is our brokenness. Some of it is the fact that some of the things that have been done to us, some of the things we've done to ourselves, perhaps, some of the things that situations we've grown up in. Some of you have grown up, I didn't get this, but some of you grew up in religious homes where God was talked about, but the presence of God wasn't necessarily there. I was watching George Stephanopoulos, blah, 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 you know, the big long. And he had Paul Young on the other night, and he was talking, here's Paul Young, a missionary child from New Guinea, how his father, who preached the gospel and did all these things, physically beat him. And it didn't compute, this God of love, with what was going on. And so 12 years of journey, and he wrote the book, The Shack, to his children after he was done, to kind of explain to them how the roles of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit interacted with him to bring him to a place of hearing and wholeness. In fact, when you look through the scriptures, when you look through the Bible, you'll find constantly God speaking to people. When I came into the city, I got around some Christians and said, the only way God speaks to you is through his Bible. How many of you have heard that? The only way. Well, it's funny how, what's true in one sense. It's funny when you read the Bible, ironically, it has all these stories of how God spoke to somebody. Spoke to Noah, spoke to Moses, spoke to, let's throw a couple of them up here. The first one is John. Now, let's just make this our basic assumption so that I know this may seem elementary for some of you, but it's so important that we understand this. I tell you the truth, Jesus is saying, anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. Who's he talking about?
Jesus.
Thank you. Gosh, you guys, come on, students, come on. We're going to teach for a while. The gatekeeper opens the gate for whom? Who's the gatekeeper? The Father. And the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has, where am I losing it? Gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Go back. In this verse here alone, it explains so many things. One is, we have a shepherd. And who are the sheep? Everybody go, bah! Now, what's interesting about sheep, it didn't say, my lambs will hear my voice. Big difference. Do you know what a lamb is? It's the baby sheep. Some of us are baby sheep. We don't yet fully hear his voice. Jesus, when he said to Peter, I shared with you last week, when he got Peter back from his three denials, his first one is, do you love me more than these? And he was probably talking about the 153 fish. And he says, Jesus, you know I love you. He said, then feed my lambs. The second one, he said, then take care of my sheep. The big difference between a lamb and a sheep. All of us are in a journey of learning how to hear the shepherd. And the process of learning to hear is not as simple. It's just like playing an instrument. How many would love to play guitar or drums like way these guys? I'm going to be a rock star. And so best thing you hope for is you get on, Rock Band and four buttons. Hey, I can do it. I put 10,000 hours in. Now, the first time I ever picked up a guitar after I let go of the accordion, thank God, was I pick up the guitar, and I had to learn how to play those chords, and it sounded terrible. It was awkward, and the fingers didn't stretch right enough, and this, and everybody would leave the room. It was bad. But I had started to learn how to make music. In your journey with God, learning to hear his voice, it doesn't matter how awkward and how hard it may seem, he does want to communicate with you. And we have to learn to get through the awkwardness of those stages. If you're not careful, this society will tell you, you don't have to hear God. There's enough voices out there. There's enough preachers on the internet. There's enough people around you to tell you what to do. There's enough bosses or figures or, quote, the enemy that's going to try to dupe you into believing things. And it will say, you don't have to learn how to hear God's voice. You don't have to sculpture this. You can just kind of float. Trouble is, when storms come, when life comes, and all of a sudden our assumptions kind of get in the way. North American assumption, biggest one is, I believe God, plus he loves me, equals great life. And if I don't know how to hear God, and I don't know what's going on, if, you know, the Marlo and Jean situation, all of a sudden something happens, like, what's going on? When life doesn't go exactly the way you think it should. What is God saying? What is he trying to teach us or you? And if you have a simple assumption, A plus B equals perfect life, then you'll find yourself constantly getting frustrated. So, for example, I believe God and I do my duty. I put some money in the offering plate and I know God loves me because that guy up front tells me every week and people around me hug me even though I don't want it. So, okay, God loves me. And that means I should have the perfect mate show up or the perfect job show up or the, how come I got a boss like that? How come I ended up getting a wife like that or a husband like that? Or how did I end up getting kids like this? Why is it that 60% of marriages, Christian or non, end in divorce? What all of a sudden did they find out finally that they are actually selfish? But I thought this was about me. So I'm laying a bit of a groundwork here for the next few weeks, how critical it is for us to learn how to hear God. A couple other things here. They follow him because they know his voice. Back up. He walks ahead of them. Here's one of the keys. Jesus will lead us. He doesn't stop and say, you go on ahead and I'll kind of watch from the distance. How many of us usually run ahead with our choices in our life? Very important. Jesus will lead us. He will lead us and we follow. It's real simple. However, we have to hear his voice to be able to be led. Another thing that comes out of this is we follow because we know how to hear his voice. I beat that one to death, so you kind of get that one. And the fact that lambs versus sheep, we have to understand that we don't know how to hear his voice initially. We start, and we'll talk through this in the next few weeks. Well, how then do we know and how he speaks to us? And the last thing is, go to that next seat, is this is very important. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's very subtle about this. He doesn't come at you and, I'm here to kill you. I'm here to take away your life and your purpose and your meaning. I'm here to steal your core identity. Why God put you on the planet. The enemy is very, very smart. He knows the scriptures better than most Christians do. He quoted the Bible to Jesus in his temptations. He's not a dummy. But he's not omnipresent. He's not omnipotent. He's not all-powerful. He does not know the inside of you the way the Father knows you. But he is subtle. That's why Jesus is so important. The purpose to give them a rich and satisfying life is Jesus' purpose. Let's settle one fact, if you're here and you're wondering. Is it worth following Jesus? We're not talking about religion. We're not talking about the do's and the don'ts. We're talking about following Jesus. He does give a rich and satisfying life. That life is rich and satisfying not because of how, quote, nice it is or how well it goes, but because he gives himself to us in every step, on the mountaintops and in the valleys. There's something about that song that Brent was singing, the one thing. Now, when you haven't had much time enjoying being in the presence of God or experiencing what it means to walk with him in the darkest places, it's very hard to get this across in words. It's something that you experience more than anything. But he is worth following, and he knows at what speed you're moving at. He knows all your junk. He knows you so intimately. Psalm 139, I encourage you to read the entire psalm at least once a week. If you struggle with what God thinks about you, get this into you. This is just some of the verses, but God's saying, you made all the delicate inward parts of my body and knit them together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. How many here are complex? How many married to complex people? No, just you watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion and I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day has passed. Every moment. How precious are your thoughts about me? Oh God, they cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you're still with me. God is intimately involved with us. He longs for us to be intimate with him. when we go out and share the good news around the world, it's not, quote, you're going to hell in a grease pole, turn or burn. It is the good news, how God loves you so very, very much. Oh, he desires a relationship. I don't want to learn how to hear God's voice just so I can get things from him or do things from him. I want to hear it as a part of the relational journey I'm on with him. Amen? A few quick verses. Does God speak? The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land and who spoke to me. Who is this? Abraham. How old was Abraham when he wrote this out? He's about 75. It isn't just when you're young, it's when you're old. God spoke to Moses as a man speaks with his friend. Oh, I love it when God starts speaking to me like that. I love it when I can honestly say that Jesus is my close friend. He's more than a friend, obviously, but gosh, he speaks to me so gently and quietly like a friend. In the course of time, David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up to one of the towns of Judah?" he asked. And the Lord said, "Go up." Well, David asked, "Well, where shall I go?" "To Hebron," the Lord answered. It's very interesting to me. They didn't have the written word back then. And so the interactions that God had with Gideon and young Samuel and on the list goes. When you read it, you'll find this constant thing that God is speaking. "I will instruct you," says the Lord, "and guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch your progress." Put that one on your bathroom wall. Take your Bible, and I don't know if you do it. I do. I destroy my Bible, not because I'm trying to kill it, but I'm just so into capturing when God speaks to me. I capture it, and I underline it, and I even put the date when something pops off. This one is just so powerful because this is a promise for God. "I will instruct you," says the Lord, "and I will guide you along" what pathway? The best pathway. How many want the best? Now, the best may not be what you think is the best. Guess what? We'll learn all about that one. "I will advise you." Oh, that's kind of interesting. He'll guide us on the best pathway. In the meantime, he'll advise you. And not only will he advise you, he'll watch out for your progress. I just think that is the coolest kind of God in the world to serve. How many believe God's that real and that personal? How many would love to have this constantly happening on a day-by-day, week-by-week, month-by-month, year-by-year basis? Oh, I'm getting excited. Preaching myself happy. Next verse. So what does God communicate about? So for me, these are the three areas that God communicates. He communicates value, father to child, identity. Who I am determines my sense of worth. Our worth in this world generally lines up with how you perform in life, smarts, looks, power, money, blah, 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 plus what you think other people think about you. How many have experienced that? You know, "Oh, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me." Yeah, right. They hurt you. Because why? Because we do value what people think about us. That's part of the reality that we deal with. What does our boss think of us? What does our mate think of us? What does that girl think about us or that guy think about us that I'm trying to get them to like me? What does my coach think of me? What does my professor think of me? What does my teacher think of me? What does that policeman who saw me try and buy his strap think of me? You know? God says your self-worth, fundamentally your worth, is equal to what he says about you. Because you're one in 6.6 billion. There's no one else on the face of the planet like you. You're unique. It really, quote, in one sense, doesn't matter what anybody thinks about you. It matters mostly what God thinks about you. That journey to get that growth in us, to understand that, is one that constantly grows. And God is constantly communicating those things. How many need a dose once in a while to know what God thinks about you? How many sometimes don't believe what he says about you? Gosh, that's hard. And so God is constantly loving us and teaching us and speaking to us about that. Another area he does, this is one that I dislike the most sometimes, is he communicates so we can grow up. Instructions, correction, encouragement. He actually starts to teach us. When you go to the book of Proverbs, almost every chapter starts with, my son, my daughter. My son, here's some instruction. My son, here's some instruction. My son, here's some instruction. He's talking to us as children and saying, I want to grow you up. I want to instruct you in the ways of life. Don't do this. Avoid those kind of women. Avoid this kind of thing. Stay away from that. Like, it's a lot of instruction that God gives us. How many know some of the dumb decisions we've made? It's because we didn't listen to instruction. He constantly loves to communicate value to us so that we have courage and strength. And then he also teaches us how to walk through things. You will find yourself in situations guaranteed where you have a chance that, the teller gives you back, you know, you give her a $50 bill, you know, I know I've never had one of those, a $20 bill, and it was $5 for whatever, or like it cost you $45, hang on, I'm screwing this one up. Anyway, she gives you back more change than you deserve. All right? And you, at that point, you have a decision to make. Are you going to just go, oh, God bless me? Or are you going to be honest? First job I had in the city after I became a follower of Christ, I was a night shift, kind of 3 to midnight downtown. And I couldn't believe it. I'd get there at 5, 6 o'clock. All the people I worked with would head down to the bar for dinner, and they wouldn't come back until about 10 to 11 to punch out. And I remember, and they were like, they were on my case. Come on, you're making us look bad by you staying and working. And I was like, man, you should have seen what I was like before I came to Christ. Man, I was a lazy bum, and I would try and take advantage of my employer. I would find ways to not work. And God shifted me, and he taught me how to work. He taught me. I didn't have a father to teach me, and so, man, I got some pretty hard-nosed bosses in the oil patch, and they, boom, they taught me how to work. And God taught me out of Proverbs that you put in more than you actually get paid. That's how you add value. Give yourself away. The Bible is very clear. Do your work unto the Lord. Do not take advantage of whether they're, if they're a Christian boss or whatever. But that was something he taught me. And so here I am now with all these people, probably about 30 people, and I'm the only one that would come back after lunch or dinner and work. And it got very uncomfortable. And I remember like, whoa. And I'd go to the Word, and I'd pray, and I'd get this sense of, no, you're doing the right thing. Gosh. Eventually, I sat down with the boss, and I said, I don't want to say anything, but I'm just curious. Do you know what's kind of going on? He goes, oh, yeah, we know what's going on. The funny thing was, 15 years later, I find myself elevated in places of leadership and given responsibilities and entrusted with things that whoever in your work would not give to just anybody. Delicate information about people and things. Well, why? Because they're looking for people of integrity. God wants to teach you about these things in life. The next thing he wants to communicate to you is direction for ourselves. Gosh, what course should I take? What job should I do? What direction in my life should I go? What church should I attend? What small group should I be a part of? What area in the church should I be giving weight to? Is it the children? Is it multimedia? Is it come and sing? Is it ushering at the door? What is it, God? Where would you like to lead me to participate with your church around the world? What mission? Is it this year or is it next year? Is it this month? Is it this week? Is it, for the most part, it's not only getting us into the flow of things, it's actually starts to communicate to us about other people. The longer you learn to walk in this, the more all of a sudden you get for other people. And that is the coolest thing in the world, when God starts giving you thoughts for your neighbors or different people. These are the three areas: who you are, identity in him, teaching and instructing you so that you will mature. Do you know why Jesus gave 5 gifts to the church? He gave them apostles and teachers and pastors and prophets and evangelists. Not so they come up and they do all the stuff. They're given to equip you to do the work of the ministry that God's given you on the planet to do. That word ministry, by the way, is your act of service. What is it that you are on the planet to do? Maybe you are supposed to be like the Canadian Dr. Banting. How many know Dr. Banting? Saved millions and millions of lives by coming up and being led to the understanding of insulin. And he was a full-on believer. Or the guy that, if you Google who saved the most lives on the planet in history to date, It's this Christian guy, and he just passed away, I think I mentioned last week, at 95 years of age in September. Quiet man. When he got the Nobel Peace Prize, he quoted Isaiah. He knew exactly what he was on the planet for. And he invented the disease-resistant, drought-resistant grain. And so the famines that were going on in the world, in India and China, different places, no longer happening. You never hear of famines any longer in places that have taken his stuff. It's so important. God wants to lead you so that you will find fulfillment in the things that he has for you and, in fact, others. Dear brothers and sisters, here's the point. Here's what's important. I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. Be the kind he will accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? In order for us to receive his guidance, we have to be willing to follow. That sounds like rocket science, doesn't it? If you want to have his guidance, you have to be willing to surrender to him completely. He can't lead a sheep that's not willing to follow. You know, Jesus starts coming over here, and we stay over there. And like, oh, God, help me. He says, well, follow me. It's very important that we understand that. Two kinds of leading. Providential. Providential is the leading that God is leading us even when we don't know we're being led. Anyone had a God coincidence in the last period of time? You're just going to work. You're on a coffee break. You're between classes. And all of a sudden, someone puts someone in front of you, and it's like one of those, whoa, a God moment. God knew what time you're going to get up. He knew where you're going to go that day. He knew what was going on. He actually has providential leading, things that we don't even know that are happening. How many of, oh, the job, oh, the house, oh, the mate, oh, the friend, oh, the church. It's just like, wow, kind of happened. God is working even though we don't even see it. He is leading and guiding us even though we don't know it. But what's the key in this? This verse in Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding and your own. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Every morning, Jesus said, when you get up, this is my favorite prayer. Lord, I need you to guide me. I need you to fill me. John has taught me that I not just need to be guided, I need to be filled. And I give you my life, and that you will direct it. I have my plans, I have my thoughts, I have my things I want to accomplish, but I submit them to you because sometimes he'll take you off of your plan and lead you into another plan. I remember, Ralph, you were telling me about how, you know, when a patient cancels out on one of your things, your staff know not to necessarily jam someone else in there because now they know that likely God has an assignment for Ralph in that moment. It's kind of fun when all of a sudden you start to expect supernatural interventions in your life. It's so cool to get up in the morning and go, I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to go to work, do this, do that, do that. But in the midst of this day, what's going to happen? Who am I supposed to speak to? Who's going to speak to me? How many have had that happening to you? Different places. We're going to hear about some of this next week. Another one is specific leading. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he shall say, here I am. And your eyes shall hear a word saying, this is the way, walk in it when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. God can be very, very specific. For safety, these harbor lights that you see up here, it's very interesting that God just doesn't give us one thing. He just doesn't give us a vision, or he just doesn't give us people, or he just doesn't give us, he gives us a couple of things. One is the word. I have suffered much, O Lord. Restore my life again as you have promised. But Balaam was stopped from this mad course when his donkey rebuked him with a human voice. These people are as useless as dried up springs or as mist blown away by the wind. They are doomed to the blackest darkness. They brag about themselves with empty, foolish boasting, with an appeal to twisted sexual desires. Wow. God will speak to us through his word. This is fundamentally, we have an advantage that the Old Testament folks didn't have. We have more of this written down. We have more of his will for us. We can now go to, God will never contravene what's written here. If you're sitting there, and this is one of my favorite, I remember our youth pastor told us, he said, if you're sitting there with your girlfriend and you're going, you know, we love each other and, you know, it's it's pretty, I mean, we feel all this emotion and, oh God, we're going to pray right now that if you don't want us to make out, you'll send someone to knock on the door. And there's no knock on the door. It's like, well, I guess that's God's will that we're supposed to make out, says the guy. No, 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 no. What does the word say? It's very important that we get to know the word. This will guide us. It's amazing how much God will guide you in his word. And it's a living word. At first it becomes instruction, basic things, learning. And then all of a sudden God will quicken things out of the word. Second thing, for Harbor Lights. Yep. The Holy Spirit, the still small voice. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Do you remember what Jesus said? He says, I have to go so that someone else will come. Let's go to the next verse. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you for how long? Forever. The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. The Word cannot accept him. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you, and he will be in you. He will be in you. Wow. Next one. But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you of all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. He will teach you of all things and he'll remind you what's said to you. This is one of the Harbor Lights. I'm just going to use this real quick example and end on this. Well, let me just do the third one here. Third one. There's four. People. The apostles and the elders, together with the whole church in Jerusalem, chose delegates. And they sent them to Antioch of Syria, and Paul and Barnabas to report on this decision. The men chosen were two of the church leaders, Judas, also called Barsabbas, and Silas. No one's correcting me. This is from the letter they took from them. This letter is from the apostles and elders, your brothers in Jerusalem. It is written to the Gentile believers in Antioch, Syria, Cilicia, greetings. Quote, we understand that some men from here have troubled you and upset you with their teaching, but we did not send them. So we decided, having someone come to complete agreement, to send you official representative, along with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, who have risked their lives for the name of Lord Jesus Christ. We are sending Judas and Silas to confirm what we have decided concerning your question. Here's the point. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay no greater burden on you than these requirements. Very often, God will use people in our lives. Mostly, they help interpret the events of what's going on with the last one in circumstances. Then he knew it was the word of the Lord. When you read this verse in Jeremiah 32, I encourage you to read verses 7 and 8. We don't have that, right? Just that little part. Someone comes to Jeremiah and says, you need to do this and do this and do this. God had already given a vision that said the same thing. When this person came to him, he said, then I knew it was the word of the Lord. Let me end on this. This is us in the boat, collectively and individually. And we need to know God's will for our life, his perfect will, and how he's leading us. There is a port in Europe that is really treacherous, has lots of rocks, lots of things that would try and stop you from getting there. We have a thief that's trying to stop us from getting there. In that particular port, if they just go with the one big light, they can still come in at the angle and they'll still end up hitting rocks and crashing and burning. What I have discovered when I'm learning to hear the voice of God, it was very important that these lights lined up. In fact, in this particular port, they line them up in such a manner that you don't head into port until all four lights become one. The word of God, the peace that you receive by the Holy Spirit, the mouth of many counselors, and circumstances. These things when they line up. Now, any one of them, if you take it out of context, if you don't have people to help you interpret, sometimes you can crash and burn. How many cults? How many places or people that we know have gotten a word somewhere? Maybe they had a vision. And they just go by the vision, but it haven't been tested out. Even prophetic words, the Bible says, before you, they should be confirming to you not directing you. The Bible says if you get a prophetic word, don't despise it, but let two or three others, people, come and help understand that. Now, we're going to unpack this over the next couple of weeks because I know today was a long day. But I want us to understand that this is so critical to our journey that we begin to hear the voice of God for our lives. And it's a learning process. And God's going to speak to us through His Word. He's going to speak to us through His Holy Spirit. He's going to speak to us through people. He's going to speak through circumstances. That's the most one, because sometimes circumstances, the enemy has circumstances in our life. But any one of those alone can sometimes, quote, get you in trouble. That's why He gives us these all together to a certain degree. So we're going to unpack that a little bit. Amen? All right. Was that good okay for you? I know it was a bit of a in your face. Let's pray. Dear Father, we really desire a relationship with You. Every day is a series of choices that we make, decisions that have to be made. Some are big, directions, where we should go, who we may marry, jobs to take or not take, homes to buy, places to move. There's some big decisions, God, that You said in Your Word, You promise that You want to guide us in the best pathway, and You want to instruct us, and You want to watch over us. And so, Lord, it's so easy for us to just neglect learning how to hear You and just try and get through these. And I pray, Father, that You will find us as a people on journey, wanting and desiring to know Your will. That You said in Romans that if we just present ourselves, our wholeness, our body, our mind, our soul, everything to You as a living sacrifice, that, Lord, we know that living sacrifices, they crawl off the altar almost on a day-by-day basis, if not moment-by-moment. Thank You for instructing us that said if You want to follow You, we have to pick up our cross daily and deny ourselves. And to whatever plans we have, that we submit them to You. And we don't lean on our own understanding, but we allow You to guide us. God, You are looking for a people, not just to go do things on Your behalf, but, Lord, to be in relationship with, that know Your will, to have an intimate relationship, that we can count You and call You our friend. You said to the disciples, You gave us a great picture. They spent 3.5 years with You. And at first they just were obedient and listening and getting corrected and challenged. But at the end You said, You now my friends. And then You said the Holy Spirit's going to come and is going to teach you and remind you and guide them. Lord, there's so many things for us to learn in this journey. We thank You that life is not a series of outlines and notes and just formulistic things. Lord, it's a story. It's a journey with You. And so for the next few weeks, God, we submit all of these thoughts to You and these plans. And I pray, God, You begin to speak to us and show us and help us to learn how to hear and respond to You. We ask this in Your precious name. Everybody said, amen.